Welcome to the Boomer Woman's podcast, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. There's a question that tends to show up at this time of life, sometimes quietly, sometimes a little louder. What's still possible? By this stage of life, we've already done a lot of the heavy lifting, career, family, responsibility, all of it. And it can leave us wondering if the time for stretching ourselves in new ways has quietly passed. In this conversation, we explore what happens when that assumption gets challenged, not in theory, but in action. Not because we all need to do something extraordinary, but because we might still have something within us that's waiting to be expressed. And sometimes it starts with something as simple as the next step. Please note a trigger warning. This conversation includes a brief discussion of suicide around the 40-minute mark. Please take care while listening. And listen now to my conversation with Debbie DiMaggio. Today, we're going to talk about something I think many of us wrestle with at this stage of life, and that's this idea of what's still possible. Because by the time we reach our 50s, 60s, and beyond, we've lived a lot of life. We've built careers, raised families, navigated changes we didn't expect. And somewhere along the way, it can feel like the window for big, bold challenges has quietly closed. And then along comes my guest, deciding to run the LA Marathon right before turning 60, not just as a physical challenge, but as a mindset decision. She talks about training her mind more than her body, about taking the next step instead of staring down the whole distance, and about how that shift in thinking carries into everything for her now. Business, transitions, and even the curveballs life throws at us. What really caught my attention is her work with people in transition, because that's where so many of you listeners are right now, not starting over, but asking, what now? So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Debbie DiMaggio, welcome to the Boomer Woman's podcast, where we are embracing the journey.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I loved your introduction. I'm like, yep, I did that. I did that. And it wasn't easy, but as I say in my book, I pivoted and adjusted. And that's what we have to do when we're in transition, right?
Okay, there we go. So, about this choosing to run a marathon at almost 60, what was going on in your life that made you say, oh, I need to do something like this right now?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a long story. I'll try to make it shorter. What happened was I'm very visual, so I explain things visually. I was in St. Bart's December 2023 with my husband of 35 years, my daughter who's 32, and my son who was at the time 28. And we were playing dominoes and we were drinking rosé and we were having lunch and we were just spending time with the family, just the four of us. And all the young people, the waiters, they were sitting around us and they were enjoying, what with the music with us. And it was just a really amazing experience. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my son said, I'm going to OSC. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. What is that? He said, Officer Candidate School. And I said, I don't know what that means. And he said, the Marines. And I said, what are you talking about? Like that had never been in something that was part of our life ever. I mean, he played lacrosse all his life. We're a super close family. So, and this is why he didn't tell us until it was a couple weeks before he was to go, because we are so close. He told me when he was up early the months preceding training, he said he was in a running club, and that made sense. When he told us that one day, he said that he was going to the Marines, and I said, I don't understand. Can you explain it to me? Of course, 5 seconds later, I started bawling my eyes out, but I was like, I just don't understand. And I wanted to support him, but I didn't understand. And he said, I want to challenge myself. Well, those five words propelled me into the next couple months. So I said, what? I just didn't know what that meant. So immediately after lunch, my husband and I went home, still in St. Bart's, or went to the villa. And we started watching YouTube videos on the Marines and Officer Candidate School, and just like what was the worst thing that could happen to him other than being yelled at, right, and broken down? Like, there was something called the Quigley where you have to go in the summer, it's hot and there could be snakes, and you have to go with your rifle underneath for a period of time, holding your breath. In the winter, it's so cold, you could get frostbite. I mean, there were so many things going through my head. So I immersed myself, over the next couple of months in the mindset of a soldier. I'm like, these people go from normal human beings and they are completely transformed, but they are normal, like me and you, women and men. And so I was trying to understand, what does that mean to challenge myself? We got home from St. Bart's, New Year's, December 31st, 2023. I put on my headphones and I ran out the door and I was listening to music and I was thinking, I was deep in thought, what does that mean? I want to challenge myself. So I started running. I ran a little bit and then I signed up for a 10K. I was going to sign up for a 5K race and I said, oh, I'll sign up for a 10K. If I can't do it, I can't do it. So this is how I operate. I say I'm going to do one thing and then I'm like, well, why don't I reach? And then if I can't, I can't. I'm just going to try. So before Chase left for officer candidate school at, what's it called? It's in Virginia. Oh my God, I'm blanking on the name. It's a real place. And I said, why don't you run the race with me? So the two of us ran the race. This began not only a thing for me, this running thing that I embarked on, but it also made we were doing this together. So it was January, we did the 10K together. And then before he left, we did another race. And then I go between San Francisco and LA. So I did a couple 5 and 10Ks there. And he left to go away. And I was still running. And then I decided, by the time I'm 60 in July, I want to run a half marathon. Well, in February, I ran a half marathon trail run. And then in February, I said, why don't I run the marathon? I was, as I said, immersing myself into books and YouTube videos nonstop of the military and watching them doing these crazy reenacted captures and just, I mean, craziness. Listening, to, watching, well, I was reading a book called David Goggins' book called Can't Hurt Me. I did not know who he was at the time. And he came from a very horrible, unsupportive life. His parents were not supportive. He had a really poor life. I said, I have everything. I have a great family. My parents were always supportive. I've always had supportive people around me. When I put my mind to it, I do it. So, and he became a Navy SEAL. All right. He was 300 pounds. He had no support. He went on in his life and became a Navy SEAL. And I thought, I'm going to run the LA Marathon. That I'm not out there risking my life. I'm not running on broken shins. You know, I'm healthy. I have the mindset of it. I'm just going to do it. But I didn't tell anyone because, of course, I was going to be 60. I decided in February to do it. It was March that the marathon was happening. I said, if I tell people, they'll be like, oh, yeah, sure, Debbie, you don't even work out. You don't even run. Like, you do no training. So I didn't want to hear that. I just wanted to prove after reading his book and watching all these military people on YouTube and all of these amazing things they've done to risk their lives for us. I was like, this is nothing. So a week before, I told my husband, I'm going to run the LA Marathon. He knows me well enough not to question. And I said, you need to come to LA because I don't know what's going to happen. And so he came with me and off I went and I did it. And on the 18th mile, I was like, what did I get myself into? But I said to myself, you're not a quitter. You start with whatever you start, you finish. And I was talking to myself and I would not finish. I would not quit unless I tripped or something terrible happened to me. And I finished. And when I went past the finish line, I guess it became emotional. It wasn't emotional at all. It was something I set out to do just to prove you can do it on anything, on mindset. But I did burst out into tears, probably because my thighs were a little tired too. But I think I just was so overwhelmed that I actually did it. Anyway, it was five words. I want to challenge myself that spun out into wanting to try to figure out what that meant to him. And he did go on for a couple, actually only a week. He trained for 6 months, got accepted, went, and he was the higher end of the age at 28, kind of cut off because a man is more, they're more steadfast in their mindset at that point. So they weren't as moldable. So he was there. He loved the camaraderie, like his lacrosse team, but he knew he didn't want to be there for the long haul. And thank God, because he was supposed to be in the reserves, but with what's happening now, he probably would have been called up to go into action. So I'm just thrilled. I'm glad he tried it and he saw what it was like, but it wasn't something that he wanted to He didn't want to, for 8 years, you were going to have to represent the military. And he thought he could go and then come back after a year and then he can dress and be the way he was. And then he'd go for training. He liked the physical aspect of it, but he didn't realize he always had to have his hair trimmed and he had to dress a certain way. So there was a lot of things he didn't realize. Believe me, I researched everything. I knew more about the military than he did going in.
Well, having spent some time on or at a military college, not personally, but somebody, a good friend worked there. Yeah, I just could not believe some of the stuff that went on. So,
It's
yeah,
crazy. And it's
that.
Quantico. I couldn't think of it. Quantico is a real place, and he was in Quantico. I was like, I watched those movies, but I just, oh, it's a lot.
God. Yeah, looking at it as a mother to mother, it's like I was just like, oh my God. But back to you, the marathoner. You made a comment that I went, oh my God, I wonder what the listeners are saying to themselves right now. Because you've just finished a marathon that you have not trained for. You've done some 5Ks, some 10Ks, and suddenly it's like 40K. And you say, well, maybe because my thighs are a little tired. It's like I've seen trained athletes cross the finish line of a marathon and their legs are jelly, like just jelly. So I was like,
I didn't know what to expect. I was just like, we'll see. Every step was a, you'll see what happens, I guess.
God, I won't tell my brother because he has run marathons and he trained and trained and trained and trained. Oh my goodness. Okay, so you trained your mind more than your body. We've got listeners out there that are saying, mindset is great, but my body, my circumstances, my knees, my energy level are real limitations. What do you say?
Well, first of all, I don't recommend what I did to anyone, really.
Okay.
Actually, I do not recommend it at all. I just get these things in my ideas, like writing six books. Ideas pop into my head and I have to do them. I have to execute. But yes, everyone has their own goal, whatever that is. If that's a health goal, we can talk about that. If you're going through the empty nest, oh, I could talk about that for days. But you have to know your limitations. And if there's something realistic that you want to try, by all means, we can talk about getting your mindset behind that and how to bring in supportive people and how to find the right coaches and do it safely, whatever that is to you. But yes, no, you shouldn't, if you have bad knees and you're not,
That was me.
we don't want you running a marathon. Maybe we'll start with a 5K. The other thing my son and I ended up doing together, so when he got back from Quantico, we continued to run that year and we did three Spartan races,
My
and
God.
that is very military-ish. I mean, I was a little afraid. I don't really like heights very much, but we had to go up this jungle gym thing and there was no mat below. I literally climbed up this jungle gym with my eyes closed because I didn't want to look at the ground. We had to go underwater in our clothes under the water to come up and not sure where I was going to come up. I mean, it was, oh, and we had to climb under barbed wire or crawl under barbed wire. One
Through
man,
mud.
this bald-headed guy, was cut his head. I mean, I'm like, is this safe for the average person who's signing up for this? But
My one comment about Spartan racing is we had a Spartan racer as part of our family for a while, and I used to be uber fit, used to be, and I remember asking her like why, and she said because I really like the pain,
oh, wow.
and I had to give her a hug because it was like I remember pushing myself, in fitness to the point where, yeah, it was the pain. Or once things really ached, it's like getting the massage therapist there with their thumbs, because like, oh, the pain feels so good.
That's so, I've never
So
heard that
Spartan
because
racing is like grueling. Oh,
you
yeah.
like the pain. I didn't know that one.
Okay, so enough with the Spartan racing and marathons. At this age, risk does feel different. How do we take on something that's big enough without setting ourselves, we don't want to set ourselves up to fail, but we also want it to be a stretch.
Right. Okay, I'm now 61, and every year I embark on, I'm in real estate for 35 years. I still practice real estate, help people buy and sell and go into transition, help them through transitions that way. That's what I do for my every day. But every year I also want to do something. What's the goal this year? One year it was launching my podcast, which I've had for 2 years now, writing Mindset in Motion, my new book coming out next week, the running the marathon. So whatever that is for you, make it. I think, oh, so where I was going with that. So this last weekend, so the book is coming out. So what's 2026 have in store for me this year? Speaking around age and health and longevity, I attended a biohacking conference. So I've immersed myself like I did in the military mindset. This year, I am going deep on longevity, reverse aging, and they're saying we can live till 170. I mean, there's all kinds of data. I am reading so much. I have an Instagram beauty at any age blog, and that's on Instagram. I also write on Substack about aging and not even aging, but beauty and health and wellness and peptides. And this morning I was listening to something about what we could put in our coffee, how we can biohack our coffee. So don't forget age, as my book said, beauty at any age, because age is just an attitude. Forget age. Stop thinking about age. And what is it that you want to do? You can do it. You don't have to say, oh, I'm too old. So it really depends on, if you said, what is it you want to achieve? I can be more clear, but don't let age get in the way of what you want to do. And they are saying, I actually just saw a YouTube video the other day. At age 60, we're just starting our next chapter. So now that the kids are grown and you might not have grandchildren yet, like myself, and like there's so many things out there that we have, you can Google, like, what should I do today? I mean, you can like ask ChatGPT, what should my goal be today or this year? Really find something you want to do. Some people, they want to golf, they want to play pickleball. I don't know, but pick something you want to do, and then I can go through if you want my framework to achieve a goal and the Mindset in Motion method. And if you have a specific thing you want to talk about, but just do it and don't think about your age. Be healthy, but don't think because you're at this age you have to stop.
Yeah, and it's not biohacking for me. It's maybe just life hacking. But I
Yeah.
have this thing that I say that I'm going to live forever, and so far, so good.
Yeah,
So,
exactly. It's all in what you tell yourself, right?
yeah. Now, you talk about taking, you're focusing on the next step, not that full 26.2 miles or
Right.
40
Yeah.
kilometers, whatever it is. How does that translate for someone facing a big life transition, whether it's retirement,
Sure.
loss, divorce, whatever.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just feeling stuck.
Yes, absolutely. So first thing, if you're feeling stuck, the first thing I say, and I've said this forever, and I've had people comment, it's so simple, but when you're feeling stuck, get up, get dressed, get out, and start interacting. What happens when we get out? You're at home, you're not feeling well, you're not dressed, you're still in your pajamas. Get in that shower, put on some makeup, get dressed, get out, go get coffee, go for a walk, go interact with people. Once you're around people, conversations happen, opportunities arise, but nothing's going to happen if you're sitting in the house. So that's the first thing about being stuck. Get up, get dressed, get out, and start interacting. And then if you're going through a transition, this is where I bring the Mindset in Motion method into play. It's 5 steps. So you can, whether you're overcoming an addiction, going through a transition, going through the empty nest, wanting to achieve a goal, no matter how big or how small. It starts with a goal. Start with one goal and gain clarity around that goal. You have to be very clear about what you want that goal to be. And what then the second step is to believe. Don't worry. This is that one step I'm telling you, not the end of the marathon. This is the first step. It's believing you can. Don't worry about how you're going to get there. If I was thinking about all those hours I was going to spend and what that looked like, and was I going to cross the finish line? And No, I didn't think about anything. I wanted to get to the starting line and I wanted to start. And there was a whole conversation I had with a young man who had just run across the San Mateo Bridge. I said, please don't ask me how I trained because I did not run across any bridges. I just wanted to get to the front of that line and take off. So that's what you should do when you believe. You don't know how you're going to get there. You're just going to get there. Speak in affirmation, positive statements. The third is to internalize. Feel yourself crossing. And I did this when I was preparing mentally for the marathon. You see yourself across the finish line. You see yourself healthy. You see yourself being in good shape to do it. So, whatever you're internalizing for yourself, your own goal, feel that. So, this is where I journal. I write a lot. You journal to get it out of your head, whether it's a, going through a divorce and how you want to get through it, or if you're overcoming an addiction or whatever it is, your goal, just really journal it. You can use Pinterest, you can do vision boarding, but really ex make that you and your own. That goal is what's that going to be like for you when you achieve that goal? Because you will. The next step is share. I used to say just share. Now I some goals you can share with everyone. Some goals like the marathon, share with supportive people. So if you have a goal that people are going to say, oh, you can't do that, or they're going to just throw negative talk at you, you don't need that muddying up your mind. Share with supportive people. If it's a small thing, or not a small thing, but if you're going to, I want to work out every day, put that out there so people can cheer you on. But when it's something that is pretty big, sometimes people don't want to see you succeed, or maybe it makes them feel less than. And it's not about that. It's about you achieving your goal. But share with supportive people, bring in those supportive people to cheer you on. And then the last is to activate. This is where people really get stuck in the activation. You don't have to achieve your goal all by yourself. When you activate, you bring in all those supportive people. If you're, an athlete, we'll bring in probably 10 coaches, a fitness coach, a nutritionist, a physical therapist, masseuse, mindset coach. I mean, they have all kinds of coaches. If you want to become a good speaker or CEO, they have all, business people have all kinds of coaches. There's also a Facebook group page for anything. If you're going through a divorce and you need some support, I'm part of the National Association of Divorce Professionals. There are so many groups for whatever you're going through. Seniors in transition, there's a whole group for people going through that transition. Empty nest. I wrote a book. The book wasn't about the empty nest. It was my, it came out of the empty nest because when my kids left to go to college, someone said to me, it's not like they're going off to war, but to me, they were leaving me. They had to grow up and go away, but I was like, oh my God, who am I? Yes, I work in real estate and I do everything with, I go to every single game. They're part of my life every single day. And when they're gone, it was like, who am I now? That was a whole like 8 years trying to reinvent who Debbie DiMaggio was after they left. So the activation is, and then like even as small as my friend, not small, but after COVID, she lost her taste. There was a Facebook group page for people in COVID during COVID who lost their taste buds. So there's help out there. So one of my things that I really dislike when I'm coaching is someone says, I don't know how, or I don't know where to look, or I just don't have time. It's like there's so much support out there if you want it. There are so many people just like you. It's endless. So you have to want to activate. And that's where the hard work comes in. It's not just going to happen for you. You do have to put in the work. It's not magic.
Well, and you did mention ChatGPT a few minutes ago, so
Yeah.
you can
You
always
can
go
get
ask
some
your
help. Absolutely.
your
Absolutely
bot.
get some help from ChatGPT. Definitely.
Saves so much time.
Oh my
Okay,
gosh.
a whole bunch of questions came out of what you just said. In terms of friends, and you say share with those people that you know. I used to have a wellness business, and we called it the Sabotagers, and sometimes we can self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Now, once again, that's part of that mindset thing. Is there a coach for that?
Is there a coach for that? Yes. I was working to help someone during COVID to publish her book. She had been working on her book for 20 years before there was before we had the internet. She was typing her book out. That was how long ago. And she went to Cal with me and she had all the pages of her book, taped to the wall and chapters. And So fast forward 15 years or 16, 17 years, I said, Marisa, did you ever write your book? She's like, no. I said, well, I've written a couple books and I did not set out to write books. So you need to publish your book because that's been your goal as long as I've known you, as literally as long as I've known her. And so we started going through the process, and she had so many self-limiting beliefs and so much self-sabotage. One of them was she's Filipino, and she comes from a Filipino culture, and so it's very male dominated. So I said, "Are you waiting for your dad to die before you publish this book? Is that where you're going with that?" Because she was so nervous how he would take the book. Long and the short of it, after we got through all that, and when she published it, he ended up being proud of her. But she was so worried how, and he wasn't exactly the kindest man growing up, but it looked like it changed. But those were things like that. We had to work through every week. So absolutely, I could help people with their self sabotage. Absolutely. If they want to help, I can help them. But when people don't want help, then you're not going to get anywhere. People have to want to do that thing.
Now, in terms of empty nest, women my age especially, they have spent decades taking care of other people. And right now they may be taking care of their parents again. So they've gone through the children, they've gone through their friends, they've gone through the spouse, possibly now into the parents. When you finally take their cheeks in your hands and say, it's your turn. They don't know what to do. They've lost so much. They've lost touch with anything that was part of them. How do you have them reconnect?
So the person who's been the caregiver.
Just to reconnect about their needs and, making it about them.
It was hard. It feels really selfish in the beginning because you're trying to figure you're focusing on you, and you're not used to focusing on you because we focus on our clients, we focus on our kids. And I remember the pivotal moment. I was still posting images of my kids, and they said, "Stop posting us," and I'm like, "Oh my God, what?" Okay. So then I literally posted a photo of myself. I'm like, I am trying to figure out who I am, right? Who is Debbie? And that journey was crazy. I wrote my first book, Contained Beauty, Photographs, Reflections, and Swimming Pools. It's a coffee table book because someone said, you always talk about your kids. You never talk about what you want to do. And so that launched into that project, and really great things happened. I met a publisher at a party, which it was like, I feel like it was divine intervention. I call it And I have a tagline or quote. I say, look for the extraordinary in the ordinary. That's where magic lies. Every day I look for the opportunities. I went to this party thinking it was for our whole charity, not just a few people. Well, when I walked in, a publisher was direct in my line of sight, and I said, oh my God, I was just talking about writing a book. Never in my life had I said those words, and then a publisher was put in front of me. So what transpired was the first book, and then a real estate book, and another real estate book. But you have to be open, you have to change your mindset, you have to be okay, you have to think about it. You should write it out too. What is your new life look now that it's about you? What do you want to do? That's not an easy question. How I launched into the empty nest was I started on Instagram posting 100 days of the empty nest. And every day I made my mind, I came up with something to do, whether, instead of Adam and I working on the weekend, I said, we have to go on an outing. We can't stay home. And we can't, do an open house. We need to get out on a Saturday and do something different. We had to get out. That was hard for us because it's nice and we work a lot, so it's good to chill at home. But we went to the horse polo matches, and we would go to Napa, and we would really get ourselves motivated. And then it could be as small as I'm gonna repaint the coffee table. So I sprayed it gold, and I sprayed a lamp gold, and that was the thing of the day. I sent care packages to random friends of Chase's, my son, when he went. I sent four girls care packages for Halloween. Like, whatever it is to get you into motion. And that's my book. Mindset in Motion is the name of my book. Activate purpose, power, and peak performance. So when we activate and we're going in one direction, sometimes something else happens and we go a different direction and it's an even better direction. So once you're in motion, things happen and it might not be where you thought you were going, but something else may come from it.
Is there any recurring fears that you hear from, especially our age group, or just even slightly older women, that, as I say, that are recurring, sort of generalized across the board?
I think people just, what is it? I mean, I think that people want to do things and I think they get comfortable and then they don't act. I'm one to seize opportunities everywhere I see something. So I think it's just people block themselves from doing more or getting out there. I think it's just their mindset and they really need to activate. I can't say it any other way, but yeah, I think that yes, it's, I can't. Yes, you can. When someone says I can't, I said yes, you can. Just do it. You can. What's holding you back? And that's a whole conversation. And when you're having those conversations, this is not a text message or an email. There's questions that we talk, ask. I hear things, and then just like you interviewing me, right? You're hearing things, and you can grab onto that and ask another question. So I can't sum it up all in one generic sentence. It's really about having those conversations. And whether it's a conversation with me or a conversation with another coach or a conversation, it's about having conversations with someone you trust, right? So if you're having conversations with someone you trust and you try to get down to what is it, why can't I do X? Conversations, journaling are two really powerful things.
We've just come out of a pandemic. I don't know if you heard about it. It was called COVID. if somebody had, and I've interviewed people, yeah, I did this, and like n the following month, we were shut down for COVID.
Right.
So if somebody has perhaps made a move across the country, they have not been able to find that circle because they were
Right.
not in the office, they were not able to join the gym, they were not able to go to whatever they wanted to go to.
Right.
So where do they begin? And maybe you've already answered this by saying,
No, okay.
Google a
No.
group. But where do they begin to find that those people that are going to reinforce their goal, their
Yeah,
dream?
sure. I just did this with a I was my f friend and her daughter. We were at a golf tournament and we were chatting and we were walking around. And when I'm around, I'm an extrovert when it comes to talking to you, but in big groups, I get really tired. It drains me. And so we were the daughter and I were identifying that we're extroverts on one hand, but we're also introverts because, we can't keep going like the mom. And so my friend just, she loves being in huge circles and she could, be at a party forever. I'll go into a party and then I'm like, okay, I'm tired. I need to go. But so the daughter is moving to Palm Springs and we're very similar, right? So I'm an extrovert when I am one-on-one, but you've got to get to know people. And so you have to branch out even if you're an introvert. And how does that happen? So I said, you know what? You're in Palm Springs and you can be anywhere in the country or in the world. So I said, go on Eventbrite. When I'm in Los Angeles and I want to go to a sound bath, I just go on Eventbrite and I type in what I want to do. I said sound bath. So then I put myself into places that things I love, right? You want to, what are those 5 or 10 things that you really love? And if it's food, let's say you love to eat and you love food, put in, cooking class or just put in the word food, things will come up. So whatever it is, so Eventbrite is just one of those things we have where there people are planning events that you can attend and they're not expensive typically. And so she did that. She's in Palm Springs and she was putting in some things that she liked, hiking, cooking, hiking, golfing, whatever it is you like to do, book club. It could be anything, but start somewhere or whatever. And you're in Canada, so whatever that community groups might be for you. Then again, go to your Facebook group pages. And then once you start, if it's writing, there's also there's something we have called Book Society. Go to the bookstore and see if they have book clubs. So whatever it is that, you have to find, do, you want to do something that you enjoy because then you're going to be aligned with like-minded people. I like to do charity work because it's what I like, and I feel good when I'm helping children's hospitals. So those are my people that I like to align with. So whatever it is for you, find a group and start there. Because once you start in one group, you're going to meet some people. And then from there, it's just going to grow, right? They're going to say, oh, do you know about this? Oh, I was new a year ago. I've met so many people. You know, it's just like, it just is contagious. So you've got to start. You've got to get up, get dressed, get out, and go. And you know, if you like a pottery class, go take a, you know, a pottery class. A lot of neighborhoods have these cute little, you know, painting or pottery with wine or something. And also go to a coffee shop. Once you're in a coffee shop, you start to see the same people and over again, or a cafe. It's just, you've got to get out, right? I can't say enough about, you got to get out of your house. Get out from Zoom.
Okay. Yeah, we've got Eventbrite up here, and I was actually surprised. You know, I don't. This is maybe just my headset mindset, but when I heard Eventbrite, I thought, oh, like events and
Right.
big
Oh,
events.
yeah.
But I was just like literally 2 days ago looking up. We have a school very close to here where their musical theater group is, they put
Okay.
on these huge
Great.
productions.
Yeah.
And I thought, this one looks really fun. So I Googled it. What comes up?
Good.
Eventbrite, you know. So
Nice.
yeah,
I'm
they
so.
really do have a variety of things in there. So
And that's
yeah.
another thing. Someone retired from, he was a lawyer, and he was really, and he retired, and like, what are you doing now, Troy? He's like, I'm acting in plays. Like, never knew he was an actor, and he's gone down that whole rabbit hole of acting. And you know, you can go take improv class, you know, whatever it is you like to do. Start by writing out what you like to do, or what you liked to do when you were younger that you still like. If you know, I like dance, and I keep saying I'm going to go do some, you know, take some dance classes. I haven't yet, but that's on my list. But yeah, Eventbrite's good, and they're not expensive. I'm sure there's some that are, but most of them are not that expensive, and it's really local. And so yeah, I highly recommend it.
Oh,
It's a
that's great.
starting point.
And I suppose the worst possible scenario is you try something that you thought, oh, this would be, yeah, I really want to do this. I wanted to do this for decades. And you
Right.
get there and you either are abysmal at it or you hate it.
Right.
But you've, at least it's off the proverbial
Right.
bucket list,
Yeah.
you know,
And you will
so.
find like some groups are like, I've gone to different ones. I went to one sound bath and it wasn't great. And I went to another one and it was great. So you know, it's like anything else. You have to keep going till you find the right thing.
Okay, what is a sound bath?
Okay. So, you know, I'm all into this health and wellness biohacking now, but no, I started sound baths long ago. Actually, you're in a room, and there are these big bowls. They're big bowls, and some sound baths have like beautiful bowls of all sizes, shapes, and sizes, and they're expensive, these bowls. So, I mean, one bowl, I think even a small one might be $700. So you go to these places, and they use it's, I don't know what it is. It's like they make the sound. What is the, it's
Okay,
like
yeah.
one of those things, you know, and they make the sound. And so they have all a bunch of different bowls that are beautiful bowls, and they sit on the ground. It's like in a yoga type of setting. And so you lay down and you're just close your eyes the whole time, and it's beautiful, beautiful sounds and music, and they talk, and it's, they have a bunch of bowls, but some places also have other instruments, xylophone and gongs and different things. So it depends, you know, how elaborate. If someone's coming in, they're not to a space that they've rented, it's not going to be as great as some, you're going to a place that it's designated to a sound bath, but they are so relaxing and just hypnotizing. They're just, and you really come out feeling so relaxed, and it's just a wonderful way to meditate with this beautiful, beautiful music.
That sounds
Sound.
exactly. I once hosted a hong player, and because that's that big metal bowl,
Okay.
and yeah, and the magic she worked with, it was absolutely
Right.
amazing.
It's incredible. So people listening, go to YouTube and Google sound bath, and you can
Okay.
listen to sound baths on YouTube as well.
There we go. Oh dear, I love it when I learn stuff. This is great. Okay, moving on now. You talk about not getting stuck in perfection. Many of us have spent decades trying to get it right. I use a
Oh.
lot of air quotes. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Talk to us about not getting stuck in perfection.
well, I was interviewing a coach last week from Ireland, and I said the word perfection. He's like, perfection is not possible. And I'm like, I know, we know perfection is not possible. Just like on my book, there's one thing I wanted changed before, but if she changed this one spacing, it was going to knock off the whole book. So I will notice where that is in my book, 370 pages. I'll know there was that one thing. And no doubt, as much as we have edited this book and I've read it, no doubt there's going to be some kind of an error somewhere or a spacing issue that will drive me crazy. But I finally had to just let it go. It's, perfection doesn't exist. And when you say that, or when you believe it, even if you said perfection is not real. It gives you permission to let it go and to breathe through it. And you just have to accept it because it's not. And you're not going to go anywhere, and you're not going to learn. A lot of times too, when we do things and we fail or it doesn't work out, that's where all the learning takes place. So you have to, or you'll stagnate forever. And no one wants that. We want to live our lives. So just know perfection is not a thing.
Well, as a recovering perfectionist, the phrase I use a lot now is perfection is a moving target, because you'll have this vision of perfection, and once
Yeah.
you get there, there's going to be
Yep.
something else and something else and
Exactly.
something else. So you're
Oh.
never really going to get to that final place.
Exactly.
So yeah, I just remind myself of it's a moving target.
Yep, whatever. Just say whatever it is to yourself to get moving on. Exactly.
Okay, so you've faced some major life challenges, the career pressures. You've got a great career, personal transitions, even cancer, if I'm allowed to mention it. How has your definition of strength changed over time?
I've also lived through two suicides, so I think that's kind of rock bottom when. I don't really talk about it, of course. I'm happy to talk about it now, but I don't really write it in my bio. But that was probably the lowest, right? You have zero control. I like to do things where I have control, a little bit of control. I'm waiting for closure on this book. I'm in real estate where we help people buy and sell, and I'm always loving the closure to move the client to, into their next step, wherever that is. And right now I have a lot of open doors, and it's hard for me because I like closure. And you have control a little bit, you have more control when you get that closure. But when people commit suicide, it's literally like the rug was pulled out from under you. I mean, obviously we can't imagine what they were going through, but you have zero control and there's no talking. There's nothing could be said to help the healing but time. So when that happened, the second one is my father-in-law. When that happened, I was like, wow, life is like, wow. Life as we know it is insane. Like that is just like the craziest thing that could happen. And nothing seems real. It just, you're in this state where, gosh, it was very hard. It was a very, very hard thing. I used to not be able to talk about it because I would cry all the time. And it only took time where I wasn't crying when I was talking about it. But when you get to that point, for someone it might be, an addiction. And but once you hit rock bottom, everything after that is like, I could do it. It's like I'm here. When I was running the marathon, what I said during the marathon when I hit that mile 18. I said, I'm doing this for all. I don't know where things come from in my head, but I said, I'm doing this for all the people who can't run. There are a lot of people, Debbie, who can't run, and you're doing it for all those people who can't run. I'm lucky to be able to run it. So similar with people who commit suicide and the people in my life who committed suicide, or when I had cancer and I was healed from cancer, I had thyroid cancer. I can do it. I'm healthy. I'm here now. I can live my life. Unfortunately for those who have committed suicide, it's over. But I'm here. I'm healthy. I'm well. You're here. You're healthy. You're well. People listening might be like, I'm depressed, or I'm like, I can't figure out how to get out. Well, when someone commits suicide or when someone has a terminal illness, yeah, then start complaining. But be bigger than your excuses.
Yeah. I'm going to throw you a bit of a curveball.
Sorry.
No. Is there ever been a moment when your mindset failed you?
I mean, that's the thing with me. This is actually really interesting. Someone was saying they're interviewing people who've had a huge setback, and when I'm talking to Liz and she said, what was your big setback? Or people like, I go, I don't have like a huge setback because I don't think of it in that term. So the suicide, yeah, it was a huge setback. Not only, I'll just say it, not only was I birthed, I had just had my son, I was in the hospital. He committed suicide as I was delivering my son. Like, it doesn't get worse than that. And I was close to him, and we had a 2-year-old daughter who was close to him. So Annie did this to his father, his son, my husband. So there was a lot packed into that. It wasn't just a random suicide. Anyway, so some people have, lost everything and were homeless and then became, then they made money. And I don't have any dramatic story like that because, and I do have, I'd say it's a little something, but I don't frame it like that. My mindset is, okay, the 5 houses we have right now aren't sold yet, and that's frustrating, and I want them to sell, but they're going to sell. So I kind of talk myself into they will sell. And then during the recession, we're in real estate, we're all commission paid, based on commission. And we had like 3 cars, 2 houses, 2 country clubs. We had all kinds of expenses going out, but I didn't think of it as like it was the recession, but I wasn't thinking of it like, oh my God, we need to liquidate everything. We're like, it for my me, the mindset was like, well, we're not using the house in Scottsdale. We don't need it. We should sell it. But we don't need 4 cars, So it wasn't like, oh my God, we have to sell everything. It was just like it was a different mindset. I wasn't thinking it was a fire sale. It was just like, well, we're not using that. We don't really need it. And nothing's really happening. And so I just kind of reversed the thinking so I don't go into a tailspin.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds like it's not that your mindset fails you. It just might have to be either adjusted, you've got to pivot, something
Yeah.
like that,
Yes.
and
Yeah.
find the mindset that will get
Yeah.
you through it.
Right. So I don't like dwell on it. I just keep moving forward. As long as I'm moving forward and I'm fixing things along the way or adjusting, I don't say fixing, adjusting, I'm pivoting and adjusting, that I don't look at it as like something devastating.
Yeah, a really good thing to remember is just that, the apparent answer might not be the answer. So just to be able to be open, I guess, to
Yeah.
other thoughts, other
Yeah.
ideas, other
Be open.
possibilities. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a woman in the audience and she's thinking, I know I want something more. I don't know what or how. What's the very first thing you would invite her to do besides getting out of the house?
Yeah. I would say, so if I was working with this person, I'd say, okay, Jane, when you were growing up, or, what did you like to do? And then she'll tell me, and then, well, what did you like to do when you w with your kids? What did you like to do if you didn't have kids and you just like, what did you like to do when you were in your young adulthood? Were there things that you wanted to do then that you didn't do because life got in the way? What are some of those things that you always wanted to do? People will have an idea of something that, people have goals in their lives over the years and they may change, but we want to identify what were those things that were of interest to them, and is it still of interest to them? I mean, if I used to want to jump out of airplanes and I never did, and I don't want to do that anymore. I'm very clear about that, but so we change. Yes, we change our ideas, but or do you want to go hike Mount Everest, or do you just want to go hike the 14ers in Colorado, or do you want to go hike your local hills and mountains, like, or hills? what is it that interests you? You've got to, we dig to find what that is. And then we go through the steps on, okay, how are we going to get you involved in that? So it's really a process. And what I like to say when people coach with me, I don't want you to be stuck with me forever. I want to help you achieve that goal right away. If that's in, a couple weeks or a month or 2 months. And I do hold people accountable. So, it's like some people could get a like, oh, I don't want to do all that work. It's not a lot of work. You just have to follow through. When people meet with me, we meet for an hour and then during, and I give them assignments before the next week. And then I check on them, not harshly, just, how's it coming? Did you get your homework done? And we work that way until, and that's how we got Maritza's book done, and we got another agent launched in her business. She got to quit her paid job so she can go into real estate full time. So, whatever it is, another person had lost her sister, and her friend was in a head-on collision. She was, and we worked on a lot of different things. And she wanted to get an emotion, and she had a couple different coaches. So it's possible. You need to kind of work with someone to get you to where you want to go in this next chapter of yours. There's a next chapter. Your book is still unwritten.
There you go. And I can't remember exactly what you started with there, whether it was Mount Everest,
Yeah.
but all your follow-ups were like you've just reverse engineered Mount Everest,
Yeah.
so locally you might be walking up Pakal's, then you'll go to the Gross Grind, and then you'll go, up the next one.
Right.
So it's yeah, it's
Just start
interesting.
small. Start, you have a big
Yeah.
goal or have a small goal. I mean, my goal was on the smaller side and I made it into a bigger goal, but just give yourself something, even if it's small.
Okay, we're going to move into the future. If we could fast forward 10 years, what would you hope a woman who's listening to this conversation today would say changed for her?
I would hope that she would listen to this podcast and say, "I am so happy. I know what I have to do, and I wasn't doing it. And these two women got me to get up and get out and to figure out what it is I want to do. And know I'm not being selfish, but know that this is my life and I get to write my book. And I just want to see that person motivate. And if she needs help from anyone, she should ask, and she should just move past those blocks, move back her own self-limiting beliefs, and know she could do it. She just needs to want to do it.
Who was it that said, screw it, just do
Yeah.
it?
Good.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you would like mid-age and older women to think about?
I work a lot with seniors who are downsizing, and I will. So in my, it's a little book. It was something that popped in my head during COVID and I had to get it out. So it's a very small book called Beauty at Any Age, because age is just an attitude. And it talks about, yes, healthy eating and this and that, but it also talks about one of the most important things at every age, from the time you're a little girl to the time you're an older 100-year-old woman, community. You need to start building that community at every age. I had to rebuild my community when my kids left for college because I did not want to play bridge or tennis or pickleball. I just don't like to be locked down for a certain period of time. I'm obsessive compulsive about my work in real estate and getting back to my clients. And I like that, and I love to write, but I didn't know what it was going to be, but I knew I wasn't, I knew I couldn't sit still long enough to play bridge or learn to play bridge. So I had to find community, right? So I did. And that's a whole different story. But for someone at every age, we go through transitions. Kids leave, spouses pass, right? People do pass or move, or you move. You need to establish community at every age. I have a client right now, a friend and a client. As soon as I get off the phone, I'm going to go down to the retirement community. She has no one. I am a friend. I'm not a family member. I've helped her move into her new retirement home. I've been there to get her medicine when the hospital didn't give her the medicine when she fell. She really has no one. And so now she has the people, whatever they'll do in her retirement community, but she doesn't have community, so she doesn't have people, supportive people around her. So, and she's in her 90s now, so it's not easy to find that. So before you get to that point, make sure you have a lot of community and support around you, because it's like she's the last person standing. And I'm living through this with her, going, who is between the retirement community and the hospital? Like, that's where I'm living this in real time. And she had given me a little piece of paper with a couple names on it. One was Neptune Society, one was an attorney, and one was her fiduciary. And when I called the fiduciary to say, you know, I think you have the power of attorney, and if she goes back into the hospital, I need to know you. I need to know who you are, so you know that you know who I am, and I'm calling on you. You need to make some decisions. I can't. But then it got more complicated. He said, I can't do anything until she wants me to. And so it's like a chicken and an egg. So find community, establish community for your mental health, your physical health, for when you know, need help, when if dementia is set, you know, any if dementia comes into your becomes a part of your life, you need to establish community long before you get to that point. So that's what I'd say with people, you know, really important is community.
And if there are 90-year-olds listening to us today, instead of despairing all the people you've lost, because we know you've lost a whole
Right.
bunch, what my dad did, I mean, this is dreadful, but he'd read the paper and he'd see one of his buddies and he'd say, ah, outlived another one. And it was like a badge of honor that he'd outlived somebody
Oh my God, that's so funny.
else. Oh, dear. Okay, Mindset in Motion. Talk to us about the book.
Yes, Mindset in Motion, Activate Purpose, Power, and Peak Performance. It is a year in writing, but a lifetime of learning. And I love to say, be on the lookout for magic. That's where the opportunities reside. And it's really about getting in motion. It talks about the five-step mindset in motion method that I created, a framework to help you, whatever goal, small or big, to achieve. It gives you a framework so you can plug it in and follow the steps, and it's very easy. I also talk about, there's a lot of examples in there, and a lot of personal stories. I mean, when I was in a sophomore in college, I just would love to go back and meet my younger self, because I walked up to the front stairs of the United States Supreme Court and got a job. Now you couldn't walk up the stairs probably without, you know, a metal detector. I said, my name is Debbie DiMaggio. Can I speak to Alexander L. Stevens? He was the clerk of the court at the time. I had sent a letter. They didn't have a job, but I don't take no for an answer. So I ended up getting a job.
Oh, dear. And everybody listening will be able to do that when they read Mindset
Yes.
in Motion.
The goal is to inspire people to go out and do what they want to do. It's just really is to inspire you to live your best life, and to follow a system, and to just take, there's a lot of quotes throughout the book. So even if you were to open it up one morning and you see a quote and you're like, okay, I'm just going to ruminate on that today. You know, it's something that you can always have on your possession.
There you go. Where do we find you on the World Wide Web? World Wide Web.
I know, right? Debbie, DEBBIDI, capital MAGGIO. So there's no E in Debbie, because in kindergarten I took off the E because I wanted to be different even back in kindergarten. So DebbieDimaggio.com, you can find everything. And to get the book, it will be on Amazon, let's see, in about 2 weeks, so mid-April. And you can also go to mindsetinmotionbook.com. And I hope you read it, and I'd love to hear from you.
There we go. I'm flicking through on my other monitor here, your different tabs, so that's great. Can I
Thank
ask you a personal question before we close? I mean, you've
You
already divulged some personal stuff, but okay. So you are connected to the DiMaggio name, carries
Yes.
a certain legacy of performance and excellence.
Yes.
Growing up, did that feel like inspiration, pressure, or just an interesting family story?
Yeah, more interesting. I was young when and people would always say Joe DiMaggio, but I think he was still around, but yeah, it was more interesting that we related, because it was bigger deal to other people. I didn't really couldn't really relate because I was young. But my chiropractor recently said, when I told him I was going to run I ran the LA Marathon, he said, "Is it DNA or Debbie?" And I said, that is so interesting. I said, it's got to be a little of both, about the Debbie mindset coupled with there's got to be some DNA that's helping me do the things I do. Because Liz, my publicist who you met, she read something about how I always talk about I am so persistent, I am so dedicated, and I will complete anything I start, and I'm so determined. And she read something about how Joe DiMaggio, I didn't know this, how Joe DiMaggio was very persistent and very determined. And I'm like, wow, we're very similar. DNA or Debbie.
Is it one of those DNA genetic things that sort of picks and chooses where it lands, or are you one of a number of, I'll use air quotes again, overachievers in the DiMaggio line?
No, there's not. No, I'm pretty much the crazy one. No, there's, I don't, I, no, no, I don't, I've never met another me before.
So you picked the long straw.
Yeah. Most people, my husband's like, they should donate your brain to science.
Can you wait till I'm dead, please?
Exactly. They should do it now. I want to know.
I'm sure that's coming. Oh my
I
goodness.
know, right?
That's a whole nother line we could, or another road we could
Oh,
go down,
actually,
but
I could tell you this. There, I was in San Francisco where they have those incubator, those where the founders of companies there spend 2 weeks together to and just work and work. This one young gentleman was using DNA matter, brain matter, tissue matter to figure out how people are, what makes them tick. So yeah, I got to go back to him and say, can we do mind, or do I have to be dead? Can you harvest it while I'm
Yeah,
alive?
right. But you want to know, first of all, what part of the brain they're going to harvest it from if they're taking part of the brain. It's like, oh no. That's
Exactly.
the ultimate trust, I guess, there. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, science is moving so quickly.
So
That's,
quickly.
yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay. Your website links will be in the show notes. Oh, you're on social too, I think, aren't you? Didn't I see a
Yes,
bunch of
I'm
social
everywhere.
stuff? Yeah.
LinkedIn, Instagram, just all under Debbie DiMaggio. But yeah, LinkedIn is great. Instagram, Facebook, my website. You can call me, you can text me. Yeah, pretty much everywhere.
Okay. So website links are in the show notes. All of your links are on your page at our website.
Thank you. Wonderful.
Listeners, I'd love to hear from you on this one. What's one next step you've been putting off, even though a part of you knows it matters? Go over to the website or connect on social and share it. And I read every comment, and I might be sending some of them to Debbie. If this conversation made you think about what might still be possible for you or for someone you care about, share the conversation with a friend. Sometimes one conversation is all it takes to shift how we see our next chapter. If you'd like to stay connected beyond this episode, you can follow the podcast on your favorite platform. Or if you prefer, head over to the website and sign up there. I share new conversations and the occasional reflection as they're released. If you're listening to at the website, scroll down. Yes, down, down. For, come on, keep on going down. And you'll find the sign up there. If you'd like to listen early, I release each episode on Substack on Wednesday evening before it goes live everywhere else. If you haven't dropped by boomwithabang.com yet, it's really shaping up, so drop over and check it out. Debbie DiMaggio, thank you for being my guest today and for reminding us that it's not about the size of the challenge, it's about the willingness to take that next step wherever we are in life.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun chatting with you.
It was fun. Thank you. Have a great rest of week. In closing, this is one of those conversations where you don't have to take on the whole idea. You can just take on one small piece of it. Because most of us aren't running marathons, but we are all standing at the start line of something. And maybe for now, it's just about that next step.